Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what advantages do women journalists have over their male colleagues when reporting from conflict zones? Heidi Levine was born in Boston, Massachusetts, and moved to Israel in 1983, where she professionally began her career as a photojournalist with the Associated Press. In 1991, she joined the French photo agency, SIPA Press. Her news photographs, reportage, and people stories have found a worldwide audience in international magazines, including Paris Match, Stern, Time, The New York Times Magazine, and Newsweek. Levine has covered both the numerous tragedies that have shaken the region and the many attempts to reach an accord to bring peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians and stability to the Middle East. She's also worked on assignments in Jordan, Syria, Iraq, Egypt, Kosovo, and Afghanistan. In 1997, Levine was awarded first prize at the Festival International du Scoop et du Journalisme in Angers, France, for her work in occupied Hebron, and third prize in 1998 for spot news photography. Ms. Levine was recently honored with the International Women's Media Foundation's Anya Niedringhaus Award, honoring the legacy of Associated Press photographer Anya Niedringhaus and the courageous work of women conflict photographers worldwide. Levine's award-winning portfolio is a collection of six images from the 2014 conflict in Gaza. On granting her this award, the jury stated that, living in the region and raising her three children, Heidi Levine experiences the story on both a professional and very personal level, facing the same dangers as her subjects in a war zone, with rocket fire and airstrikes a constant reminder. Unlike many journalists who can cover a story and get on a plane to the safety of their own homeland, she is an integral part of the community and has shown profound concern for people, even moving her Palestinian assistant days before their home was reduced to rubble and putting down the camera to hug an anguished mother. Her passion for bearing witness over three decades is evident, even as her heart endures the loss of friends and colleagues to the conflicts. Heidi spoke with English Corner about her life and work.
Thank you very much for speaking with us, Heidi. I really appreciate it. And first, I wanted to congratulate you on this award. You've won many awards for your photographs of conflicts, and I was wondering if you could tell us what this one means to you especially.
Oh, I would say that this award is definitely the highest recognition I feel I'll ever have in my career. Not only was this award created to honor Anya's legacy and dedication as a photojournalist, Anya was a friend of mine, so as you can imagine, it's a very emotional experience for me. As much as I'm grateful to receive this award, I also do wish that it didn't exist and that Anya was still with us.
Can you tell us something about your own background, where you're from, and how you happen to become a photographer and a photojournalist?
I'm from the Boston, Massachusetts area. And when I was growing up, I always was interested in doing something that helped other people. When I was a young kid, I was volunteering and working with mentally retarded children and working with the elderly and working on suicide hotlines. So I basically knew that I really wanted to do something that could help make a difference for other people that were less fortunate. And basically I actually thought I'd be a psychologist or psychologist because I was taking a lot of those courses and in high school and in university. But I also started to study journalism and work as a photojournalist for my college newspaper. And then one summer I decided I wanted to go away, and I came to Israel, and I carried the phone number of the AP with me, and one day I called them, and they told me to come in, and they offered me a job. And basically that job was, you know, not just taking pictures, but it was a bit of doing everything, working in the lab and editing and running around to all the AP newspaper clients. And I really thought that I would just be in the region for 1 year and then go back and finish school. But when I did get that opportunity, I called my journalism professor and he told me not to come back to class.
Yeah, that must have been very exciting for them to offer you a job like that.
Well, I had an amazing professor. His name is Frank Faulkner, and he was a correspondent for the New York Times during the Vietnam War, and he was also a soldier himself, and he used to speak really openly about his experiences. So I would say he definitely influenced me very much.
Did he also influence you in your motivation to photograph areas of conflict then?
Well, by speaking of his own experiences, yes. But then because I did come to Israel, sadly, I didn't have to go very far as finding conflict to photograph. It wasn't like I had to actually go on a plane and travel somewhere to a conflict zone. So basically, that's how I really started to photograph conflict.
Yeah, something that I'm curious about is that you've covered both sides of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and I was wondering if you've had, for example, problems in Israel showing the war in Gaza.
As far as showing my photographs to an Israeli audience, I have given lectures. In fact, I did give a lecture a little over a month ago to students at a university here, and I have, you know, I was a bit concerned about the reaction. I know it's not easy to show one side the other side, especially when the pictures are very graphic. But I found that people were really, really interested to learn about the other side from my photographs. And they felt really, really impressed by the pictures as far as, like, not impressed, let's say they were very impacted, felt impacted. And so, yes, I was a bit concerned about the reaction. And actually, it wasn't the first time either. I had actually shown my pictures to an audience at Tel Aviv University, not from the last war, but from 2 wars ago. And again, a lot of people, like, lined up and wanted to talk to me about the pictures and told me how grateful they felt that I was showing them these pictures. So, of course, you know, there are going to be people that are going to most likely be very upset and dispute that the pictures are even real. That happens. But in general, I haven't felt I've been confronted with too much opposition to what I do.
What would you consider your most rewarding assignment?
My most rewarding assignment? Well, I can say it was a self-assigned assignment. I happened to meet a couple living in Jaffa. The wife is Jewish, and the husband is Muslim. I met them a couple of months following last summer's war, and the wife was pregnant, 9 months pregnant with their third child. And for me, especially after covering last summer's war and even the events before the war, such as the kidnapping of the three Israeli teenagers and their death, I would say that was very, very rewarding, not just professionally, but for my soul, because it really, like, it showed that people can overcome this conflict and actually marry together and have children and sit at a dinner table and have, you know, pita bread and challah, you know, the bread, and raise a family that respect both religions and make it work.
Is there something you would like to cover and haven't, or haven't yet?
Well, I'm very interested in not only saving humanity with by my photographs, but I'm also interested in animals and trying to save animals that are being threatened by extinction. So I would embrace assignments like that.
I'd like to speak a little bit about what it's like, especially being a woman photojournalist. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if women journalists in general, especially in areas of conflict, have problems with attitudes towards women, first of all, in the surrounding culture, but also problems from the male colleagues.
To be honest, I would say that in general, I think my gender is actually an advantage. I mean, I try to view myself not as a female, not as a male, but just as a photojournalist.
But people view you as a woman.
Right.
I mean, outside people obviously see that you're a woman. And have you
Sometimes, such in Libya, I found that the rebels didn't have a problem with me, but one of my veteran male colleagues started shouting at me one day saying, "What are you doing here? You have three children." And I got really offended because, hey, that's my choice. And there were many colleagues around me, that male colleagues that just had a newborn baby. So, you know, why not shout at them? You know, well, what are you doing here? You just had a baby. So, of course, there are going to be people that are going to feel that I shouldn't be in a dangerous area because I am a mother. When I first started, I was told that I couldn't go to cover South Lebanon because I wasn't a mother yet and I was too young. And then later I was told that I couldn't be a conflict photographer because I was a mother. So I think I've proven that that's not true.
Do your kids worry a lot about you?
Sure. I think actually they worry more now that they're older than when they were younger.
Do you think that, I mean, without wanting to stereotype or really generalize too much, do you think that women bring a different kind of sensibility to photojournalism, especially in conflict situations?
I think that we're able to break barriers, especially where the sexes are separated, because we can enter the homes of women more easily. I think people tend to trust a woman more easily and connect. I was just working on a personal project about the healing and resilience of the people from last summer, and I stayed overnight with a woman who lost both her legs, and I slept in a bedroom with her in the next bed and other women. And there's just like this amazing connection. We stayed up all night watching Egyptian movies, even though I'm not fluent in Arabic, and eating ice cream in bed. And a male colleague wouldn't be able to do that, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And not all the time. I'm always taking pictures, too. I mean, people have to understand that there's a lot of bonding for a photographer with their subjects and trust building and research and preparation that goes into doing this kind of work often. I'm not just talking about, you know, photographing in the middle of a gun battle. But when you do want to go behind the scenes and capture these kind of more intimate stories, I do think that it's easier being a female.
Are you working on anything now? You just mentioned a project.
Well, this is an ongoing project I started following the Gaza war. When I started it, I didn't really intend on having this become a project. It was, I think, last summer's war was extremely intimate. As I know people on both sides of the conflict, I was really shocked as each day passed and so many civilians were killed and also the rockets being fired into Israel. And then on the 40th day, my grandmother died, and I decided I had to go back to the States. She was very, very close to me, and That's where I belonged. And then when I came back, I started to document the people who not only lost family members, but were wounded. And also I've been photographing this incredible resilience that exists in Gaza that still amazes me after covering Gaza for over 3 decades. So I think also, and then my father died, and then I went back to the States and then back again to Gaza. And I think it was also my way of trying to study their healing process and also confront my own driver and assistant that's worked with me for over a decade and a half, lost his home during the war. A colleague and a friend of mine, a Palestinian photographer, Hatem Musa, was critically wounded, and another colleague of mine, Simon Kameli, was killed just trying to do the same story about the Hamas bomb squad that collected the weapons just a few days after me. And so I had a lot of emotional recovery going on myself. So yes, this is a project that I'm still working on. In fact, I was just in Gaza last week working on it.
After seeing and documenting so much violence, how do you feel about the future? I mean, are you optimistic or pessimistic?
I think we're all holding our breath. I don't want to say that I've lost all hope, because then why should I bother to go out back and still photograph, right? If I didn't believe that somehow my addiction to making a difference is all for nothing.
So you think that your work can really help?
I hope so. I mean, I still believe in it. But yes, I have to say that I think everyone is holding their breath, because everyone was really surprised at the level of hatred and violence last summer, and it's still very, very fragile.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
To see some of Heidi's award-winning photographs, please go to the link on this page. Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.